Well, last week what we did is lay the groundwork for our subject, which is the doctrines to be rejected. And we did that first by examining the importance of truth. That being said, because we live, of course, in a humanistic society where the religious community is evolving closer together under what's called the ecumenical movement. We underscored the importance of truth as a basis of fellowship, which of course is outlined in the Birmingham Amended Statement of Faith, and stems from Scripture itself, as seen from our foundation clause, which will be added to, I think, by Roger, are you doing that? At some point. This fellowship begins, of course, with Yahweh and His Son, and extends to us through His Son as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be remembered that although people claim a religious affiliation and worship God, they may be worshiping Him for nothing. Yeah. Thank you, Leo. Consider the following from the prophet Isaiah and from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Isaiah wrote, "Wherefore Yahweh said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Now our Lord Jesus Christ echoed these same words as he spoke about the Pharisees, and he said, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Their external devotion was evident in this day and age by the huge churches, very ornate, yet their views, instead of having been derived from Scripture, are taken, as we know, from the doctrines of mankind. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ referred to this passage and applied it to the hypocrites of His time. In this final class, then, we're going to examine specific doctrines to be rejected. We have about a minute per doctrine. There are some 38, I think, doctrines that are in the back of the Constitution. And so if we make comments, if you have questions, I certainly don't want to deter that. Feel free to, you know, let me know. Maybe you have a better Bible quote to defend the position than I do. And if so, that's great. Now, we're not just going to look at the doctrines that we reject and say, okay, we reject that, we don't believe that, that's it. What we don't have in the back of the Constitution or in the back of the BASF are positive explanations, so that instead of simply saying to someone, no, we reject that, we don't believe that, just saying that that we reject these doctrines or that doctrine is not an option according to Scripture. So let's look at the Bible quote here. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So I want you to look at this slide, because the slides are all based on this. There are three parts. There's the doctrine to be rejected, the specific doctrine. There's a reason for the rejection and a Bible quote defending that rejection. Okay, we reject that the Bible is only partly the word, the work of inspiration, or if wholly so, contains errors which inspiration has allowed. We reject that. The Bible, in its original text, is altogether the work of inspiration, and that God has been the true author of every part of His Word, thereby constituting it infallible. The quotes that we might want to use are 2 Timothy 3 and 16, which is the bottom one there. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness." These are not new to us. These are things that we would outright reject. But it's good to go over them. We reject, of course, the concept of the Trinity, that God is three persons. The doctrine of the Trinity being false, it remains that God is a being of spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is his Son, born of a virgin, Virgin Mary. The Holy Spirit is his power. The quote there, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, for us, the man Christ Jesus." For those in Christendom, that mediator has changed. The Lord Jesus is not their mediator. It is Mary. Somebody don't understand that? Oh, John Paul II, Mary was his, he adored Mary. And in the church, I think even before that time, there's been a push toward Mary, Mary worship. Mariology is actually the study of Mary. And so now she is co-mediator. Thank you. co-mediator with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Steve. I have no idea. I mean, you used to pray to saints like Jude for hopeless cases, but no way did it say, and he goes to Jesus. So, you know, I don't know. It could be. I have no idea how that works. But we understand that, obviously, to be false. We reject that the Son of God was co-eternal with the Father. Jesus, as we know, was begotten of the Virgin Mary, was only known beforehand in the mind and purpose of Yahweh from the very beginning. Galatians 4:4, when we want to defend that, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. We reject that Christ was born with a free life. Now, a free life means that Christ's nature was not under Adamic condemnation, as is that of all other members of the human race, and that therefore his sacrifice was a substitute for the lives of others. However, he needed to obtain redemption himself in order to redeem his brethren. So we go to Hebrews 9:12, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." We reject that Christ's nature was immaculate, or that he was of a different nature from other men. Through his birth, he inherited a nature sin-affected and destined to death, as we are, being mortal as we are. Again, the letter to the from Paul to the Hebrews, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through the death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." We reject that the Holy Spirit is a person distinct from the Father. The Holy Spirit is the exclusive power that emanates only from Yahweh to perform his determination, his will. And we go to Luke for proof of that. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Power from Yahweh. We reject that man has an immortal soul. The soul of man defines his being, his life, his existence, and is related to his attitude and emotions. He is wholly mortal and has no immortal essence. Thank you. I goofed on that yesterday, too, and I was trying to figure out how to say it. Thank you, Raj. The soul that sins, it shall die. Can't be any plainer than that. We reject that man consciously exists in death. At death, man ceases to exist in every respect. He has no consciousness in death. Ecclesiastes, probably one of the most frequently sought after books for what befalls men, especially mortal men, and especially in terms of death. It's covered better than probably anywhere else. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts, even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. We reject that the wicked will suffer eternal torture in hell. The wicked are destined to eternal oblivion in the grave, excepting only those of their number who are answerable to God and will be raised to condemnation to return eternally to that grave. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. We reject that the righteous will ascend to the kingdoms beyond the skies when they die. None ascend to heaven, the Lord Jesus being the only exception, and in this case for the purpose of his continuing mediatorial work, the righteous await the return of Christ for the bestowal of immortality. And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. We reject that the devil is a supernatural personal being. The devil is variously manifested as that which falsely accuses the diabolos. It is the manifestation of the ungodly characteristic of sin's flesh and will cease to exist when sin is ultimately destroyed. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Anybody have any better quotes, better verse to defend this, or any of the ones that I mentioned? If so, you know, please feel free to. We reject that the kingdom of God is the church. The kingdom of God is a divine political empire to be established on earth at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We start in Isaiah 2. We know that it's certainly Daniel. The early chapters of Daniel talk about the Nebuchadnezzar's dream, which sort of seals that for us in terms of a political empire. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. On earth. We reject that the gospel is merely the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The gospel includes the covenants of promise granted to Abraham and David and involves the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. We reject that Christ will not come until the close of the 1,000 years. Jesus Christ returns to establish the millennium, the 1,000-year reign, and will reign as king during that period. To prove that, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We know where that comes from, who believes that doctrine? I couldn't.
I don't know specifically.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I couldn't.
He will return and then destroy the devil, and then New Jerusalem, new heaven, new earth will all be established.
couldn't remember who that was, and I just didn't have time to look it up. We reject that the tribunal of Christ, when he comes, is not for the judgment of saints, but merely to divide among them different degrees of reward. The judgment seat of Christ is for the purpose of revealing the motives, actions, and characteristics of all the responsible, and to prepare the righteous for the granting of immortality. The Romans quote there, I thought, was probably the better. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We reject that the resurrection is confined to the faithful. The resurrection will involve all who have known the will of God, including those who have rejected that will, and those who have failed to uphold it in a faithful life. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We reject that the dead rise in an immortal state. The dead come from the grave in the same state as they entered it. They will remain mortal as they appear before the judgment seat. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That's from John 5. We reject that the subject nations of the thousand years are immortal. The nations will consist of mortal men and women subject to the laws of Jesus Christ, Isaiah 65. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die, this is during the millennium, the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Death will continue during the millennium period. We reject that the law of Moses is binding on believers of the gospel. This, I think, is Seventh-day Adventist. The law being fulfilled in Jesus Christ, its demands are not binding upon Christ's disciples, as they are now subject to his commandments. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. We reject that the observance of Sunday is a matter of duty. Although the first day is commonly used for remembrance of the Christ covenant, there is no obligation to limit such observance to a Sunday. It is a matter of as oft as we do so, whatever the day. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. We reject that baby sprinkling is a doctrine of Scripture. Baptism is only valid upon a confession of understanding the complete will and purpose of God. It is the outward manifestation of an inner conviction. Infants don't have the capability, brain-wise, to understand. And so the Roman Church, I think being maybe the only one, has come up with what they call godparents, adults who speak for the baby. So from birth, they get the baby in the grip by godparents. Later on, when the child is older, there's a rite called confirmation. So again, it's I've been through it. I don't remember it. It's certainly been a long time. But it's probably something like reaffirmation of what was said on your behalf when you were a kid. So they get you as an infant. They get you at 12, and you know, unless things change, the grave gets you. We reject that heathens, idiots, pagans, and very young children will be saved. These are not my words. These were in the original. Okay. Salvation is based upon a reasonable and logical understanding of the truth. Those who are foreign to the gospel, who lack the capacity to perceive its responsibilities, or who are unable to comprehend, are outside the sphere of salvation. This bothers, of course, a lot of people. They look to people with mental illness and those with who are born perhaps with Down syndrome and the like as almost being God's angels, and certainly they'll have a place. Unfortunately, we can't follow that line of reasoning. We may not know all for sure, but what we do know, they can't understand, and so they probably will not be a part of the kingdom. But when they believed Philip, they believed means they had understanding. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. We reject that man can be saved by morality or sincerity without the gospel. Well, morality and sincerity must be accompanied by an acknowledgement of the gospel for salvation. Acts 10, verses 1 to 6. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man. So here's what we might consider a moral and sincere person, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou art to know. So here we have a devout man, he feared God, believed in God, gave alms, was morally okay, but he lacked understanding of the gospel. So he was told to lodge with Simon, who would teach him what he should know. We reject that the gospel alone will save without the obedience of Christ's commandments. Obedience to the commandments is a responsibility required of all believers. Salvation will be determined upon the application of faith and obedience to those commands. There are lots of verses that back this up. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. We reject that a man cannot believe without possessing the Spirit of God. In this case, the Spirit of God identifies a direct, miraculous influence from God in a person's life. Belief comes from understanding the word of truth, as we saw in the previous slide. We reject that men are predestined to salvation unconditionally. Salvation is based upon a personal decision by a believer to uphold God's truth and is dependent upon the grace of God. Paul to the Ephesians, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We reject that there is no sin in the flesh. The flesh is, Raj?
Hereditary.
Thank you. Related to sin, caused by the transgression of Adam, the effects of which have passed on all men, including the Lord Jesus Christ. The verse to consider, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We reject that Joseph was the actual father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph was his guardian. Yahweh, through his spirit acting on the Virgin Mary, was his father. Luke 1. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. We reject that the earth will be destroyed. And man, there's a lot of people out there that believe it's going to be destroyed, totally destroyed by fire. The earth has been created for Yahweh's glory and will never be destroyed. The verse to consider, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. I believe those people, that belief there that we just looked at has taken a little bit of momentum because of the fires in the United States, and especially the United States, where the West is burning like there's no tomorrow. We reject that baptism is not necessary to salvation. Baptism establishes a covenant relationship and is an act of obedience required for salvation. From Acts we find, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We reject that a knowledge of the truth is not necessary to make baptism valid. Baptism is only valid upon a knowledge of God's revealed will and purpose, and an open declaration and confession thereof. But when they believed, again, understanding is necessary, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. We reject that some meats are to be refused on the score of uncleanliness. No foods are forbidden on the grounds of divine law or ceremonial defilement. Such decisions are a matter of personal conscience. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. We reject that the English are the 10 tribes of Israel. This is British Israelitism, I believe, whose prosperity is a fulfillment of the promises made concerning Ephraim. The 10 tribes comprise the Jewish people in dispersion, descendants of Shem. The English people are descendants of Japheth and do not form part of natural Israel. We look to James in his introduction. James, a servant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Dispersion. And he greets them. You're frowning. Do you have a question, Cass? No? Okay, I'm just curious. We reject that marriage with an unbeliever is lawful. Marriage with an unbeliever or with a divorced person whose spouse is living is forbidden by the law of Christ. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. We reject that we are at liberty to serve in the armed forces, in the police force, take part in jury duty or politics, or recover debts by legal coercion. These constitute elements of society and its law enforcement requirements, of which the believer will have no part. John, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, that was doctrine to be rejected, number 35, and had the inclusion, or as police constables, added in 1917. This is often added to some but missed from others. I suspect it originates from the dispute that led, or part of the dispute that led to the Berean Division. In 1923, the Berean Fellowship was formed as a result of varying views on military service in Britain and on the atonement in North America. In 1942, the Bereans again divided over marriage and divorce, with the stricter party forming the Dawn Fellowship. The majority of the North American Bereans rejoined the main body of Christadelphians in 1952. though in number continue as a separate community at the present day. We reject that the Holy Spirit gifts are available today. These special and miraculous personal gifts were limited to the apostolic era and are not manifested today, despite the beliefs of many. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And who can interpret the gibberish that comes from those who propose to speak in tongues? You gotta wonder. We reject that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was not required for the cleansing of his sin nature. The Lord's sacrifice was necessary for his own redemption. His sacrifice was a public demonstration that his flesh was rightly related to death and a declaration of the righteousness of God that required the offering of his life in devotion to him. By his sacrifice, the ungodly propensities, the diabolos, of his nature was destroyed, thus providing for the granting of immortality. We reject that the Bible account of creation is figurative or parabolic of a type of organic evolution in which all living things evolved from simpler varieties. The record of Genesis chapters 1 to 3 describes the literal work of God in creating this world and its creatures out of the previous void and chaos. Each day was a period of 24 hours duration and does not permit an evolutionary process.